May we help to commence our worship of God this evening by singing together hymn number 745. Hymn 745 to the tune Purley 721. When Jesus would his grace proclaim, he calls the simple, blind and lame to come and be his guest. Such simple folk the world despise, yet simple folk have sharpest eyes and learn to walk the best. They all declare, I nothing am. My life is bound up in the Lamb. My wit and might are his. My worth is all in Jesus found. He is my rock, my anchor ground, and all my hope of bliss. Hymn 745 to the tune Purley 721.
Yeah. May the Lord be pleased to help us to read together from his holy word in the book of the prophet Isaiah and read chapter 51. The book of the prophet Isaiah, reading together chapter 51. The 51st chapter of Isaiah's prophecy. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and mine arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner, but my salvation shall be for ever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be for ever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? And forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that stretched forth the heavens, and laid the foundations of the earth, and hast feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy? And where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive exile hasteneth that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pits, nor that his bread should fail. But I am the Lord thy God, that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which hast drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of the tremblings, and wrung them out. There is none to guide her among all the sons whom she hath brought forth, neither is there any that taketh her by the hand of all the sons that she hath brought up. These two things are come unto thee. Who shall be sorry for thee? Desolation and destruction, and the famine and the sword, by whom shall I comfort thee? Thy sons are fainted, they lay at the head of all the streets. As a wild bull in a net, they are full of the fury of the Lord, the rebuke of thy God. Therefore hear now this, thou afflicted and drunken, but not with wine, thus saith thy Lord, the Lord and thy God, that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again, but I put it into the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said to thy soul, bow down, that we may go over. And thou hast laid thy body as the ground, and as the street, to them that went over. May God be pleased to bless to us the reading of that portion of his holy word, and help us now at the throne of grace. Most gracious and merciful Lord God Almighty, come with thy gracious, needful help, we pray, as we seek to bow before thee in the attitude of prayer. Lord, we pray for that help to come to thy blood-sprinkled mercy seat, Lord Jesus, and look to thee who sitteth upon the throne of mercy. Oh, for there they were said, I will meet with thee and commune with thee from above the mercy seat. And now may the throne of thy grace be that heavenly mercy seat to us this evening as we gather for worship, desiring the honour and the glory of thy great and holy name, to give in hearts of thankfulness and gratitude for the mercy of the Lord that lengthens out our life and enables us again to gather around thy word in this thy house of prayer. Then as the circumstance under which we gather, and we think of our friend and brother, thy servant, who is laid aside, who is able to come as he would, and pray for him as he is unable to labour, O Lord, strength reduced at thy hand. Yet be the inward strength for him, we pray thee, and give thy hand that healeth. And so enable us to continue, O Lord, under that anointing of thy Spirit, to worship thee. For, O Lord, except it be of the Spirit and of truth, then all is in vain. But may we know that which brings us together, that the drawing of thy Spirit, we pray thee, and enabling us, Lord Jesus, to worship thee, that we may come in and through thee in all thou art and that thou hast done, a Saviour and a great one in heaven above, witnessing forever that wondrous salvation. O Lord, that thy word has reminded us it shall be forever. Lord, we reveal it with thy power into our hearts this evening, we pray thee, and even thyself the Saviour. Lord, you help us then to bear in worship before thee, we pray thee, and pour out our hearts in humble prayer, confession, acknowledgement of our own sinful heart that goeth astray. Oh, thou seest every inward matter concerning each one of us, both in our gathering around thy word here in thy house, and others that may join us remotely. Lord, do search our hearts and humble us, we pray thee, before thee. And give us those hearts to pour out in confession before thee, acknowledging our own spirit that goeth astray as a wandering sheep. Oh, do cause us to return, we pray thee. Save our hearts from our unbelief and our misunderstanding, our own carnal mind that is an enemy of thee. And grant us, O Lord, a clean heart, we pray, and a right spirit. For all within of us selfish, defiled and undone. The leprosy of sin is so evident, and the depravity of our spirit, oh, how awful it is. Lord, how gracious thou art in thy forbearing, long-suffering mercies toward us, that we are yet found in a day of grace in the land of the living, upon praying ground. Oh, do aim us to come then in humble boldness, in reverence and in godly fear, in that realization that thou hast not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities deserve. Lord, thou hast shone through thy mercies yet to spare and help us. O Lord, we desire to fall humbly at thy feet, be amongst that company of seeking souls that the hymn has reminded us of. O Lord, who comes seeking for Jesus. Dear Lord, may it please thee thus to draw near and go with us as we gather this evening. Thou art pleased to meet with the twos and the threes that gather in thy name, and Lord, to be present with us in each of our places, we pray thee. Whether those that may be alone at home do enter their midst also, we pray, and be with them. Unite us in our prayers and our desires, our praises unto thee. A desire that in all things thou art to have, Lord Jesus, a preeminence, and that thou art be pleased to reveal thy presence, that thou art not within any walls confined, but that us inhabit the humble mind, and so indwell our hearts as we seek to come in humility. Oh, turn out the pride of our spirit, the ungodliness of our own self, and bring us under thy feet, Lord Jesus, we pray thee, under thy rich anointing, clothing in that right mind, oh, enabling us to worship thee. Give them that, Lord, then may thine own word have free course and be glorified, though given in that way to the prophet to declare, and many things that was in it concerning the nation of Israel, but yet many more things may thy spirit please to reveal to us of thyself and of our present need in our souls. Need to look alone to thee, Lord Jesus, we pray thee. Lord, help us to look up once more as we gather before thee. And there, look alone to thee, Lord Jesus, we pray thee. And shine through thy word into each of our hearts and lives, and give it to be that light and lamp that thou art pleased to make known in thy word to us each. Then who seeks those dark providences and trying circumstances that we continue in, O Lord, thou canst give light and direct our way aright. Give a blessing for the gathering of the people here as they continue from week to week to gather around thy word. Encourage them in the Lord their God, we pray thee. Shine through the truths of the gospel, through the light of the everlasting truth. Give help to thy labouring servants as they minister. Help to the deacons in their many labours here. And, O Lord, the hymns chosen and the readings, O Lord, may be made a blessing. The gospel preached, O Lord, be with thy gracious power. Oh, that which thy word declares, the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth. That blessing flow down to each as they gather to hear. Lord, then be a strength and helper to the deacons in their many responsibilities here, we pray thee. And thy servant amongst them as he ministers among the walls of Zion. Be given those times of refreshing through these things and that renewed strength in his time of weakness at the present, we pray thee. Then give that enabling to go forth in thy days. Does help him, O Lord, we pray, in all the times that they were set into proclaim thy word. Lord, do enter into each heart and life, we pray. Bless the families with their little ones and all those cares and concerns that they have. Be with them in every providence, every situation. Undertake to make the crooked things straight, the rough place plain. Give them help in that continued pathway to cast each care upon thee. To see thy good hand that thou still go before thy seeking people, we pray thee. Being a strength for each who bear the many cares and burdens in their lives. A helper to those who walk the lonely pathway. They may feel thy presence is with them. O Lord, to comfort and uphold and be ever present, we pray thee. Lord, do then bear down thine ear to hear each cry and each sigh, we pray thee. The nurse of petitions laid up before thy travelling people here to know thy blessing amongst them, to build them up, O Lord, both themselves and together as a gathering church and people, as you out of the little church those that shall and must be saved, to gather in from round about those that shall worship thee, and you yet fill the empty pews with praying souls, we pray thee, bringing forth honour and glory unto thy great and holy name. Oh, may thy means of grace yet here be made a blessing to many others, to each as they do gather to the place where thy voice is heard in thy word, in the preaching of the gospel, we pray thee, and where thy Spirit's presence is known and felt. O Lord, with that needful quickening power, to lift our hearts above every earthly thing, to set them upon thee, Lord Jesus, in heaven above, enabling us to seek first thy kingdom and thy righteousness. How precious then is thy means of grace to each of us in gathering, proving thy presence, O Lord, is in the midst, and that thou art that power of the Spirit, O Lord, to endure our hearts with thy mercy and love, we pray thee, O Lord, to enable us in liberty to pour out our hearts unto thee, and to see those wondrous things that thy word is speaking of, to give that opening of our eyes again to see those wondrous things out of thy law, that the testimony of truth may be made a blessing, we do beseech of thee, and do so draw then many hearts to look to thee and to gather here to worship thee, we pray thee, and in this our day of darkness to shine forth in this our land, to turn the people's hearts unto thee, we pray, to be an influence for good in the midst of darkness and evil, when the flood of the wicked one is so evident and the afflicting influence is so clearly upon us. O Lord, do give us hearts to turn from it all, we pray thee, unto thee, and maybe be separated from its thoughts and cares, O Lord, as we gather around thy word. Oh, may it please thee to shut out those things and give us to be shut in with thee. Dear Lord, do shine forth, we pray thee. Touch the hearts of those in authority and all in the royal household, we pray thee. And may be a light and influence of righteousness and truth in this our day. Leave not us to go on in that way of ungodliness and of sin, to seek to please only man and not God. Do touch many hearts and eyes and open them, we pray thee. Our foundation, our hope may be in thee and in thy word, that which thou hast wrought in our midst in generations past, and thou art the same God to look to again. Give us hearts to turn and return, we pray thee, unto thee. Oh, hear the cry of thy trembling remnant, thus we pray thee to be encouraged by thee to continue, walking in those old paths, seeking in the light of truth to continue, in the midst of many discouragements, many Lord, hindrances and difficulties that arise. But Lord, thou dost remain. And thou art he that art the same yesterday, and today, and forever. So do shine forth, we pray, in the blessings of truth, we pray thee. Establish our hearts in the way of righteousness and truth, preparing us in it ever for eternity and for all thy will. Bless those young friends who are away at this time in their studies, and be with them in those places. Keep them there and be with them, we pray thee. Bless them in their times of returning at those set times, we do beseech of thee. And so remember each in different pathways where they are found, each of their situations that arise. Give strengthening and restoring where laid aside and afflicted. The hand of the Lord that healeth, we pray thee. And that upholding strength, O Lord, equal to the day, amidst the burdens and trials that come. O Lord, may they all be cast upon thee, and all laid at thy feet, Lord Jesus. So, dear Lord, do enable us to worship thee this evening. Pour in that one might pour out, we do pray thee. Give that prayer in each of our hearts to know thy rich blessing. And, O Lord, that faith to believe alone in thee, who art ever the same in heaven above. Do reveal thyself, Lord Jesus, as one in the midst, as Emmanuel, God with us, and one whom we seek to worship and glorify. That all honour and glory may redound unto thee. We beg thus, thou is in mercy, make up to give when one fails to ask, to hear and answer each cry and each sigh, we pray thee. And do forgive and pardon all that is amiss. And as to every sin, do wash and make us clean in thy precious atoning blood, Lord Jesus. Grant that we may be clothed in thy righteousness and thus be found complete in thee. When we pray all for thy great name's sake, Lord Jesus, amen.
There is just one notice that I omitted to give out on the Lord's Day, for which I apologise, and that is there will be a church meeting held here, God willing, on Wednesday evening, the 15th of November, at 6:30 p.m. May we be helped now to continue our worship, singing together hymn 303, hymn 303. To the tune Hollingside 514. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the raging billows roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Saviour, hide, till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. Have a refuge, have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave, leave me not alone, still support and comfort me. All my trust on thee is stayed, all my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenceless head with the shadow of thy wing. Hymn 303, tune Hollingside 514.
Lord shall be pleased to help me this evening. I seek to direct your prayerful attention to a text you'll find in the chapter we read in Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 51, and then some words at the end of verse 6. In Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 51, reading the latter clause of the 6th verse, "But my salvation shall be for ever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished." I read the whole of verse 6 in chapter 51 is Isaiah's prophecy. "Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be for ever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished." How wondrously the things of grace are once more set before us in the direct contrast to the frailty then even of natural things that God has created. There are great glories in the heavens and the earth of the Creator who has created them. And yet, though in their beauty, they have a set end. And I believe in this way the Scripture is often putting before us the works of God in those outward things. We might view in them the providences of our God, the ways of our lives. And yet, there is far more greater things that we are to be concerned with. The need for blessing of our souls with eternal life, and the knowledge that our soul is clothed in an eternal righteousness of His own divine giving. Oh, may the Spirit then open our eyes this evening in a few things of this word before us. For truly, as the Spirit gives us light, then there is such depths in the expression of these truths. If you're just to read about the latter part of it, as it expresses so wonderfully the blessing of the need of the soul, that it is God that speaks that is my salvation, that though these things be so concerning outward things, natural things, yet spiritual things shall not fail, and thereby they are set in this way that they shall be forever and shall not be abolished. A little hope in our hearts this evening of God's mercy. He is alone given it. He will put that name to it as His, my. He declares here that it shall be forever. We have to fear then that our evidences are diminishing. We cannot see them as we would. And the devil tells us we have imagined them, and they are not upon the foundation of Christ, the Word of God. Thereby they must be found wanting, and we must perish with them. And the hope of righteousness through our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have never been good enough to receive it. And yet these truths declare to us, as they are said in their context, that it is for whomsoever God will give it. That it is not to those who have these things of their own earning or merit or worth, but of God's own gracious free gift. So in the verse then, the Spirit directs the prophet then to lift up the eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, or to behold heaven and earth, and even linking to it then in this case then those that dwell therein, the whole compass as it were of God's creation. And we know that well known truth of our Lord Jesus, that He declared when telling of the last times to His disciples and those that were around Him, that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. My salvation, my righteousness, and many, many more things encompassed in that scripture that the Lord Jesus speaks of. My word shall not pass away. And really in this, the Spirit then has been speaking that His people then are not to look to natural things for that hope of deliverance, but to see the God of those natural things who has these greater blessings spiritually to give us. It is the same teaching which the Lord Jesus Christ emphasized in his ministry, that we are to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things should be added unto us. The first thing in our hearts then is to pray for the spiritual, to realize our eternal need, though the pressing things of providence are with us. And he knoweth our need of those things. And yet he can use those feeling senses of the need that we have in many natural things to look beyond them to the greater matter that is spiritual. What a mercy that is. And it is often a means that God useth to show us these greater things of the soul, that we are enlightened to see and realize our helplessness in so many natural ways. Often the Lord's beginnings come to times of affliction and trouble and difficulty. Things that we thought would never come to us or happen, that he uses as a means then yet of his goodness and grace to see our greater need than what is natural to be spiritual. To see the greater need of our soul to be healed, to be delivered from the leprosy of sin, and to use it to teach us. And maybe that light in this word this evening then, that the Spirit is pleased to shine. In the contrast to these things that have their set end, though they are preserved at the present and continue as they will at God's own will, yet there must be an end set to them. Whether it be ourselves in the experience of our life here on the earth, and thereby we'd be subject to death also. Oh, what a great need we have this matter then of our soul in its salvation. The Spirit then addresses these in this chapter then as those that follow after righteousness, he that seek the Lord. Those who are amongst those that fear God, who walked in the way of truth, who sought indeed to walk in humility, and yet in much discouragement, much fear. Where was the God of their deliverance? Surely it was a time when God's hand was going out in prophecy against them in judgments of things that would come upon them because of their idolatry. And yet it was to encourage those of the remnant amongst the many ungodly in the way of the fear of the Lord. They were to look unto Abraham, their father. They were to look unto the rock whence they were hewn, the hole of the pit whence they were digged. They were not to forget that where God had brought them from and where they are now. There is that which God has given us, has brought us up then out of the pit to the miry clay, as the psalmist expresses it, feeling his feet to be heavily clogged up, as it were, with that mire. And off we feel to be back in that pit, and no different than what we once were. So great is the temptress power and the evil of our sin. But yet you have us to look back, to remember, to see where God has found us, where he has brought us up from, how he has shaped us out of the rock then, which he has taken us. To show us indeed that as he called Abraham and Sarah to leave the place of Ur, the Chaldees, and that heathen nation and place they were used to and been brought up in, they should be given the ear of faith to hear his voice and to graciously obey it. Oh, what blessings then are referred to here of God's work in the hearts of their forefathers. They were not to look, as God knew they were prone to in a worshipping way to their forefathers, that they would name themselves amongst this and that one. And as we know, in the times of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Pharisees often I spoke of Father Abraham, or it was their pride or their desire to be named under those that the scripture pointed out were the faithful, as if they inherited that faith themselves by it. But not so, that the Lord was in it showing, well, these were normal characters, those that needed God's quickening, needed God's Spirit within them, needed this great blessing then that showed salvation, deliverance from themselves, brought them to do something that was very unnatural, to leave their own comforts and homeland and go out into a place that they did not know anything about, not knowing whether they went. And really the Hebrews, of course, 11 is much of a commentary upon the part of these times. They were seeking a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God. There was much more then in their hearts than what may seem natural as we read of those accounts. There was the hearing of the voice of God, the obeying of it, the blessing of God's promise in it, that it should be a land given to their seed that would follow. And yet to them as a husband and wife, they would face many difficulties, many trials. The great impossibility that where was indeed the child that was promised. And it is clear in this way the Spirit then puts together Abraham and Sarah to show that this is a blessing then to his spiritual people, who are the children of the promise, that through the line of Isaac then, and not of Ishmael, is also of course a son of Abraham, of whom God has appointed many blessings. And I believe he uses in the earth as a great afflicting power to our nations in our times, and to afflict us sore we are so taken up with the things of this earth and not the things of the God of heaven. What a seal those sons of Ishmael have to their way of religion, though it is so much in so many parts and full of evil. Yet what a zeal is in it. And doth not God use this to touch the hearts of those who forget God? They have in a name of religion, oh, and yet being dead in it. But my salvation shall be forever. In it we see that great forbearance then of God's saving grace and power to these, and he points to look back to where God began to show forth so the people then that he has established as his spiritual Israel. They were in the earth of course before this, in Noah's day and in the days before those early ones that were found. Enoch, they walked with God. But now forming out of those families and nation, and using that name then of Jacob and Israel to show forth the blessings of faith in the hearts of sinners, he points them back at this present time as they were much in idolatry. That they he was the one, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. You see, in the things that we need spiritually, we need God's calling. We need him to show that in doing so, he has a blessing in it. It's something that is spiritual, something to bring us near unto him. To have a knowledge of him, a knowledge of ourselves, our lost condition. And to increase that gift of faith in the soul. That it must be this justifying righteousness of our God that cannot be then abolished. Though so basely and vilely we sin against it. And never are unworthy, never are worthy of its gift to us. Oh, it is the wonder of the free and sovereign grace then to hell-deserving sinners. The Lord uses these times of remembering, of looking back. And then he does not desire then that we should look then to the heavens as it were and the earth, or to Abraham and Sarah as if we were not looking to the Lord Jesus. Look then to see what God has done there. The works of God, things that he has brought to pass, and him then that speaks for, I called him alone. God's voice, God's power entered his heart in that place. And is it not the power and the voice that still enters the hearts of the sinner still? To engage that heart in that personal way of calling, speaking personally to us. Oh, do pray God give us a calling by his grace. Give us to make our calling, our election sure, as he puts it forth in Peter's writing. That voice of God has been heard savingly in our hearts, bringing us to his feet in repentance, bringing out that cry of mercy, of God's gracious help, and to give us the poverty that we need his blessing of his wondrous divine favour of grace and love. But my salvation. So the wonder of God's delivering power, illustrated then in this calling then of those that were so long before, and showing that that same calling work had gone on in those that had continued since, not just limited to one or another character, but to whom God will call, and to bless also them with a like precious faith. And in that account, of course, of Abraham, we hear the Lord speaking to him of that great multitude of his children that would come, and that how that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The faith in his heart was so endured by that power of God in what the Lord spake. But the Lord spoke of righteousness on his behalf, gave him a righteousness that was his, showed that he was a justified one. This was his gift, his working, his great mercy. And really to encourage us this evening then in this truth that is not God able then still to make over such blessing as he declares here, but my salvation. The things that I do for the good and benefit of lost sinners. The things that I've fulfilled myself in the earth, as our Lord Jesus proclaims it tonight as a risen, exalted Saviour. But as one who gave this word then for the prophets, knowing that captivity would come, there was the years then of that time ahead when they would be removed from their land, and then a need of returning and a rebuilding, and a time of his coming himself upon the earth. That the same certainty in it, the shall be forever then, could not be overthrown. It must come to pass. And so as we are enabled by faith to look back upon it then as a fulfilled truth, does he not proclaim it still that what then has stood in every opposition, in every difficulty, every trial in the past, must stand then in every opposition, every trial in the present, and be to us then the word of the Lord that endureth forever. As the prophet then was taught in Isaiah 40, that the things of flesh, they flourish for a time and then they must pass away. Now the scripture, of course, that uses the natural things set over against the spiritual, which are the truth of God's word. In that way, the prophet then was led to see that the cry then of himself, what would he cry? All flesh was grass. Everything was perishing. It was nothing before Almighty God. Well, withering away because the Spirit of the Lord blew upon it. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. But, what a blessed but then the Spirit puts in his word to show amidst the failing and fainting away then of sin and of self, the things of the Lord, the word of God in the heart that calls, that blesses, that increases, it shall stand forever. And in pondering this truth earlier this afternoon, as my heart went to it, it seems so striking, but the word of our God. We read this word, of course, quoted by dear Peter in his epistle, and it has a meaning there with a great glory in it. But he says there, the word of the Lord. And perhaps often we quote it as the word of the Lord that shall stand forever here, and the word of the Lord that endureth forever in Peter. But it says the word of our God. You see how the prophet would declare it to be that which was of his God. How we need to view this word this evening then as the word not just of the Lord, but of my God, of your God. Or do we have that in our hearts that brings us in that personal way? And may we speak it unitingly then this evening, the word of our God. The God that has called us, has blessed us, and we hope has increased us, feeling thee much decreased, much diminished, so small and so little and so nothing, as it were, spiritually, and yet God's work cannot be overthrown. It shall stand. It stands against all the storms of unbelief, of fear, of all the opposition. Because the gospel truth, which really then the Spirit was given the prophet to speak of, the great comfort to his people, that they, finding sorrows because of their sins, showing that there could be no hope in their own works, their own selves, but in God and the Word of God. And now may that be our hope this evening, the precious things of God himself, because he has revealed some of them by the words that he has given us in the word of the living God, the word of our God. Oh, may we hear the word of our God here then. The Lord shall comfort Zion, this people then called by his grace, brought forth from those depths of the earth, the hole of the pit, when we are digged, his own workings, the rock from whence he has hewn us. Oh, there is no glory then in our self and our beginnings, but in God who has brought it to pass. But my salvation shall be forever. What then has been evidence in the beginnings of all things spiritually shall continue in that way for us to pray for. That God will hew sinners out of the pit then of unbelief, of sin and self. Hew them out of the rock then of the hardness of heart, the pride of our spirit. And bring forth the people that the prophet declares, this people have I formed for myself, and they shall show forth my praise. He appoints them those needful blessings. He is indeed the creator of the heavens and the earth, the Almighty One, the all-wise, the all-glorious one. He has given us these descriptions of the natural things to declare in it the glory of our God, the power, the wisdom, the might. The orderings of all things of nature are far beyond the wisdom of man. They are from heaven, they are of the hand and power of a perfect God. And he that causes them to continue, and yet he has appointed an end for them, and a new heavens and a new earth beyond it. Because, oh, alas, this present earth then is so afflicted by the hearts of sinners, sinful lives and sinful spirits. And we don't have to look very far but to realise it is so much within us, more than we may view without us. The awfulness of sin and ignorance and the pride against our Almighty God in heaven. But here is he then who sees the sorrows of his trembling people and gives these gracious promises then of a salvation forever, a righteousness that shall not be abolished. The things of God in the completeness of his blessing cannot be overthrown. They must continue. They are those things that he will reveal. Because, as we read in verse 3, then we will make her wilderness like Eden. Oh, what a description of the people of God find themselves as a wilderness, a barren place, destitute of any good thing, seeing more and more in the light of truth what unworthy souls we are. So fit then for God's judgments and not God's help and mercy. And yet appointed yet is his blessing to receive of that mercy. Like the Garden of Eden, the desert, like the Garden of the Lord. The prophet was used much to speak of how the barren place, the wilderness, should be a fruitful land. Chapter 35 is an example of that, the way that the Lord alone will work in his blessing. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. He alone will bring beauty down out of the awful barrenness of sinful things. His grace is implanted in a new heart, a new spirit, a new life. And thereby he speaks to the comfort of what then is his power and work to bring about. My salvation, my righteousness. Oh, those things that he declares are his. That we might plead it, Lord, thy salvation I so need, thy righteousness to clothe me in. No, that we might prove it is not abolished, not indeed come to an end. Truly we have grieved the Spirit, and there is that solemn withholding of his power that gives the comfortable assurance of these rich blessings that are his. And yet, as you know, the heart that is ready to reveal them. Oh, that we be given of his Spirit then to be humbled in repentance, in godly sorrow over our sins, in seeking indeed he would come with this comfort to his Zion, that is speaking of a people loved and owned by him, but going astray, needing calling back, needing his reviving work. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, and thanksgiving and the voice of melody. The opposite then to the sorrows, the time of rejoicing. Oh, the wilderness then blossoming abundantly in rejoicing. Oh, the things of God being made the blessing. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of their God. And in these promises then of God's work that overturns the things of sin, is given to strengthen the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them, that our fearful heart be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Be the deliverer that God ever has been of his people. And then he goes on to remind us of them, that is the God then that had brought them out of the place of Egypt, through the sea itself, as it was raging on every side, showed his almighty power to deliver from the enmity of the Egyptian whom he had put them amongst, to prosper them in their time and way. And yet he must bring them out from one of those mighty plagues that he ordered to overcome the hardness of the heart of Pharaoh. Oh, my salvation shall be forever. These promises then given so long before to Abraham were not forgotten in that which took place afterward. But there was a continual bringing them about, having a people that would walk by faith amidst those desolations and hard times. How we need this gift of precious faith in our feeling desolations and times of small things in our souls, that God is able to bring his blessing still. Hearken unto me, O my people, and give ear, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, the doctrine, the teaching, that I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth. Mine arm shall judge the people of the isle, shall wait upon me, and in mine arm shall they trust on the Lord's power. So again and again we find that the Spirit speaks of the righteousness and the salvation that are his. Is near, is gone forth. It's upon his heart then to send to the great power of it. It's not just in these outward things that even they must have their end, but the inward things that were to continue. And oh, may the light of the Spirit give us to see here that what blessings we do have naturally and providentially, and are to still ask for God for those needful helps day by day. Our Lord Jesus teaches us, give us this day our daily bread. Oh, that need then of hearts to ask for natural gifts and daily blessings, that those very things are of the Lord's provision, and mercifully is in his gracious giving. Oh, that one feels oft to be so unthankful for what we receive in the way of those gifts, and the giver who has appointed our portion in them. Much more, of course, to seek those spiritual things, the hallow the Lord's name, to declare that his will be done, to beg that forgiveness of our sin on the ground of forgiving one another. We're not hard-hearted as we seek the softness of God's heart toward us, and all those things that the teaching, the doctrine then of our Lord Jesus Christ speaks of. Thy law shall proceed from me, the truth and the power in it. Lift up your eyes then to the heavens and look to the earth beneath. Look at the things that are around us, what glories are in them. But they are vanishing away, they have their end set. In that word that dear Peter then brings out in this, when he speaks of the glories then of God's word and work, he likewise quotes then what the prophet here wrote then in Isaiah 40, and perhaps with a reference to what we have here also. But he declares then in it, the word of the Lord shall endure forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto us. Oh, the truth of the word then, the truth of God's blessing is revealed more fully in the gospel truth, the mercy of God in salvation, the great emphasis put upon it, which we hold in our most holy faith then as the gospel being our rule of life and not the fiery law that God has given. Therein is the standard of truth. But oh, how we are condemned under that holy standard and need to be humble under its holiness and power and the God who has given it, but worship much rather the Lord Jesus Christ, who has fulfilled that law and made it honourable and given from it then his perfect life and eternal righteousness, that the very truth then be made a word of salvation for us, that God has brought to pass. My salvation shall be forever. My righteousness shall not be abolished. The blessings then are set together, joined together, and not set alone. The justifying righteousness of the dear Saviour, freely given, shows forth that which the law could not do, he has done. And thereby the truth of the word and the blessing in it is seen in that way of the light of the gospel truth itself, in the glorious good news of salvation of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the word being made flesh and dwelling amongst us. That word being made flesh and thereby performing all holiness and righteousness as only he can and could and has done so, and yet in that wonder of love led in that life in suffering and death, in humiliation, in disgrace as it would seem, knowing that he inwardly bore the sin and leprosy of his people, the wrath, the curse of a broken law, and thereby was subject to God's wrath for his people, showing forth that he is the Lamb of God, the one needful sacrifice to end all other sacrifices, to show that in his death he dealt death's blow upon death itself, and to show here then is God's blessing of an everlasting salvation, one that was not just in those ways of national deliverances that oft got them out of their troubles that they were in, as they were exercised to pray over those troubles and to see that unless God appeared they would be overthrown by the nations that God afflicted them with or any other matter that came, but to show there was a greater matter inwardly. What did Hezekiah to enter into when the Lord spoke by the prophet, "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Oh, there was an end set before him. Though so many good things have been done outwardly, there were the needs of God's works inwardly. And what a blessing Hezekiah proved that path of affliction then, a path so profitable to his soul. Speak of it in that way to the comfort of God's people, that by these things shall men live. And all these things are the life of my spirit. The soul's life was being brought up out of great tribulation, proving that God's salvation is forever, for every time of need, for each occasion that we are brought to see our need of its blessing again. And what a continual need that is. A daily saving from sin, a daily saving from sinking, a saving from our pride that lifts up, the tempter that would draw us away, our own heart that is so ready to be drawn away, our own sinful self. Oh, what a blessing this truth is forever. We might speak further, we fear off to sin ourselves out of that salvation blessing. What we have known, we have, as it were, thrown away, squandered the blessing in it, sinned against the holy God, fear to trample on that blood of Christ that Hebrews 10 speaks of, and wonder what hope can there be for us anymore. You see, these truths are for the very worst of sinners who upon his grace rely, shall of endless life be winners, and shall sing beyond the sky those everlasting praises to him that once did die. But my salvation, that though these many, many things are set for an end, the work that he has done in the soul, and his revealing shall stand in death itself, when all natural things must fail, and prove the eternal blessing of carrying the soul into his glory, and to be forever with the Lord, shall be forever. The soul then cannot be brought by hope to believe and hear the calling of God in the present time, and then to prove only that in eternity it is all in vain. But to see what has begun by hope then is pointing us to reality, because of God's own work it is upon this great foundation and rock of himself. It is himself in his word that has declared it, that thereby cannot fail. And my righteousness, the very gift of it then, that is against the spirit of our own self-righteousness, that the Spirit gave this prophet to declare that is all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We are all as an unclean thing. That those very best things that a hymn writer puts of is stained and dyed by sin, and all is nothing worth. It is all polluted and undone, vile and undone, needing that cry that we have sung then of the dear Lord Jesus Christ to be our refuge and our Saviour. Thou, O Christ, art all I want, all I all is in his found. One that takes in unrighteous souls, pleading for his righteousness to be ours, shall not be abolished, shall not then be taken away from such who have a hope in it and a blessing from it, and neither shall it be not found by those who are seeking after it, who flee from their own righteousness, long to know this justifying righteousness. That wonderful blessing then that the Lord Jesus speaks of concerning the publican, that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Oh, the prayer of humility. The Spirit then of God gave us self-abasement, that acknowledging of the awfulness of sin, and the begging Spirit then for God to be full of compassion, mercy, sparing love to a hell-deserving sinner. And so clearly illustrates of God's Spirit in the soul, that character that he is called by his grace, who comes groaning under the burden, the weight of sin. And so the Pharisee of the picture then of our own self-righteous spirit that seeks to be accepted before God can boast of our own thoughts and ways, our works, and that surely we're not as bad as other are, or even as this publican, that surely then is the very worst of sinners. And these truths are given us to point out what we are in our nature and our own natural perception of even the things of God. For how awful is that natural perception of religion and not the Spirit's revelation of it. Now, the devil delights to take it up in our hearts and to deceive us. Oh, how we need God's grace to humble us, to bring us, as the poor publican smiling on the breast, the heart, to declare there is the burden laid upon our heart. Here is the delight then in this forever salvation that he speaks of here, that is for the uttermost, for the soul has sunk so low, but my salvation. Now, amidst all these things of desolation then, the blessing of his great power of life, of these eternal things. And really the apostle, when he speaks in the Corinthians, he speaks of the outward man perishing, or knowing that the natural outward man has its end set for it, yet the inward man being renewed day by day. And are we not to prove that those things outwardly have their set time when they are strong and then they begin to perish? Or do we seek much rather to know the inward things being renewed? And though we do not feel them to be stronger, to be reliant upon them being renewed or refreshed, the reality of them made known, that in the weakness we find ourselves feeling, yet proving that he is our great strength, because it is his strength that is made perfect in weakness. Oh, how the apostle had to prove that as the sufficiency of the grace of the Lord Jesus. And I wonder if each soul that is called and being blessed and increased of the Lord's power spiritually must prove therefore likewise that my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness, your weakness, your helplessness. There he could glory that when he was weak, then was he strong. As he was emptied out, as he feared and felt so helpless, did he much send his comfort to the Lord's blessing, and this which he was making a promise of. And thereby the Spirit then put in Isaiah's heart that prayer, "Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord, awake, as in the ancient days. Leave not our hearts not to be under the blessing of the promise." So as the Lord puts his promises forth in his word, may we be given his grace to plead them. May we likewise pray also in humility. For he indeed has said that the moth shall eat them up like the garment. Hearken unto me, yet no righteousness, the people that in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be afraid of their revilings. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment. The worm shall like wool, eat them like wool, but my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. The devil will often tell us then that these truths are out of date, they are for a people before, they do not mean anything now. But God has laid up every part of his word to answer the wicked one, to be encouragement then against the soul that is tempted. My righteousness. God's hand will go out against his enemies. He will deal with those, even in those things that are seemingly weak, to undermine the strength and the flesh, which is weak, though it vaunts itself, boasts itself in very proud and outward ways. The moth and the worm, those armies of the Lord that he sends to do his work, to show his great might. That it is not in great outward things he may use, it is the great power of God that is in those little things. But my righteousness shall be forever. Oh, as if to emphasize this truth, then he sets it in the reverse way, to show that out of righteousness, out of the zeal, the blessings of his holy perfection, which he has appointed then for the possession of his dear people, salvation, the power of it, shall bring deliverance from generation to generation, that the dear Messiah himself must come and proclaim the gift of the Spirit upon his resurrection, giving his life the ransom demanded of the law, showing the blood of atonement, his own righteousness to be this wonderful gift, and his own self the eternal blessing. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O arm of the Lord. As in the ancient days, in the generations of old, the defeat then of the enemies, whether of Rahab in Egypt or in other places, the one that dried up the sea, brought the people safely out there through the water, that caused indeed those enemies to be drowned in that sea, and the people to walk through it by faith. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. And everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Even I am he that comforteth you. Oh, may the Spirit speak in this truth this evening. The Lord's comfort, but my salvation shall be forever. My righteousness shall not be abolished. Oh, even I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that shouldest be afraid of a man? That shouldest, that shall die, and the Son of Man that shall be made as grass, and forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that stretches out the heavens, laid the foundations of the earth. Again, who has done such great things? We see the great fears of the heart, but has this great spiritual strength to give out of his promise of his word. Oh, what a standing fast then of the word of our God here this evening. May the Spirit then seal himself in our hearts in the truth that it expresses, and give us to see the divine certainty in it. Oh, how we need its evidence in our hearts of a God that has called us, that through such a promise has blessed us, that we may yet view there is an increase by God's Spirit upon us through his word. May God bless then his truth and forgive all that I speak amiss. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn 175. Hymn 175 to the tune Velna 403. Christ is my all, my sure defence, nor shall my soul depart from thence. He is my rock, my refuge too, in spite of all my foes can do. Christ is my all, where should I go? Without him I can nothing do. Helpless and weak, a sinner great, yet in his righteousness complete, that righteousness that shall not be abolished. Hymn 175, tune Velna 403.
For Lord, do forgive and pardon all that I see amiss in our worship this evening. Do bless us through thy word. Give us that clothing of thine eternal righteousness, we pray thee. Watch over us as we journey homeward, whether longer or shorter. Do keep safely upon the roads. Bless those at home who disconnect from the service also. Be with us in the night, grant rest or sleep if it could please thee. But do ever guide us each by thy counsel, and afterward receive us into thy glory. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us forever. Amen.